Thanks for downloading and listening to Disciples View podcast. We have a lot in common. All of us want to retire one day, and the stock market might be near all-time highs, but you know what history shows us? Stock markets don't always see risk coming. So whether it's geopolitical tensions or energy disruptions, inflation or rising government debt, the real threats to our retirement plans often come from the one advisors don't see. So wouldn't it be smart to get a second opinion? You can with Bulwark Capital's free Know Your Risk Portfolio Review. Zach Abraham, the chief investment officer there, is a dear friend of mine. I speak with him regularly. He handles my money, my wife and I's, and he manages based upon risk management. They're always looking for ways to reduce our risk, always looking for ways to increase our upside, and always doing this in a way that, again, all about risk. If you're 5 or 10 or 15 years from retirement, you can't afford a risky portfolio. So sign up for Zach's free, no obligation portfolio review. Just go to knowyourriskpodcast.com. K-N-O-W, knowyourriskpodcast.com, or there's a link here in the show notes, knowyourriskpodcast.com. Investment advisory services offered through Trek Financial LLC and SEC registered investment advisor. Investments involve risk and are not guaranteed. Past performance isn't guaranteed future results. Trek 26-112. God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley, and he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke, and God said, "Let there be light." Because we believe we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful of our true home, which is with Jesus Christ in the new heaven and the new earth. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. Just a quick note of thanks from Tim Todd, who joined us yesterday, the Truth for Youth campaign. We're off to a good start. We want to triple this. We had a fun conversation. He is a seditious smuggler of God's word to the schools, the government schools in America, by giving any teen who promises to give these Bibles to another teen, they'll get the Bibles for free. And Tim does this as a ministry. This is not anything like a money-making affair. So it's tfy.org. If you want to join this, we'll talk more about this later. tfy.org. We'll give you the phone number later, too, because it's, if you didn't hear the interview with Tim, it's a fun guy. And he's a guy who is actually handing out Bibles in Russia and came home and someone said, "What are you doing here? Oh, we're not allowed to do this in the government schools. We can hand them out in Russia as textbooks." But they figured this out, kid to kid. So the first part of the Bible is a graphic novel just to grab kids, talking about today's issues, you know, same-sex attraction, the lies of transgenderism, cutting, self-harm, pornography, the tough issues, and then it's the New Testament. So again, it's tfy.org. We'll talk more about this. May I beg your indulgence for a moment? I can still smell the fires from Washington State, specifically probably the Old Trails fire. There are 6,000 structures gone. 6,000 structures gone. And God knows how many of those are homes. And I know a couple who lost their home. Not well, but I know them. And I learned last night that I know another couple who lost their home. I was just reading a headline someone posted on Facebook. This is the largest natural disaster in the history of the Spokane area. Natural. We don't manage forests. Washington State refuses to manage forests. Literally refuses. They will not let small fires start, which is God's forest management. Lightning comes, it starts small fires. This happens on a regular basis. It does away with the dry tinder. So you don't have this buildup of all these dried trees and fallen down. So that's God's plan. In the separate country of Washington State, they don't allow that. They will put out those lightning fires immediately. They don't allow logging many of these lands. That's evil. Cutting down trees is evil. We need to use renewable resources like windmills, which are, well, not renewable. Wind is, but the windmills aren't. The half-life of a windmill in a landfill is thousands of years. They can't be made without diesel power. They can't be maintained without diesel generators. So yeah, but cutting down trees, no, that's evil. Thinning the forest, oh, God forbid. You might kill a horned, a speckled horned toad or a field mouse if you went and thinned the forest. What are you, a racist? So they refuse to manage the forests. Oh, natural. Oh, well, here's this. There's a man named Aaron Farinacci. He's been arrested as the prime suspect for starting what became the Old Trails fire. People had been reporting seeing a man walking along an area where these fires were believed to have begun, periodically stopping and bending over. And police arrested him and interviewed him, and then I think monitored him as they investigated. They've come back and arrested him as the prime suspect in this. Here's a little bit about his background. He was arrested and charged with murdering his own father because Aaron didn't want to do the dishes. So to not have to do the dishes, apparently he murdered his dad. According to media reports, his lawyers asked for a mental health examination after he shot and killed his dad. He was originally charged with murder in the first, but pled to reduced charge of manslaughter, served less than 10 years, and his court records were sealed while he was in prison. And he was living in Spokane, Washington, which has horribly cold winters, with snow and rain and sleet, instead of Arizona, where that doesn't happen. If you were going to live on the streets, wouldn't you choose a place that's warm, where you're not going to freeze to death? No, he chose Washington. Why? Because many people do. Why? Well, fentanyl is decriminalized. Meth is decriminalized. Cocaine is decriminalized. Sex trafficking is decriminalized. Vandalism is decriminalized. Shoplifting is decriminalized. Squatting on another person's property is decriminalized. Breaking into a house and establishing yourself in a bedroom and deciding to stay there is decriminalized. In the separate country of Washington, in Seattle, if you're arrested on a violent offense, you can plead black. You heard me correctly. You could walk in and your defense attorney or yourself can say, well, I am black, so that's an extenuating circumstance. I'm a marginalized person, and because of the Supreme Court, judges get to take that into account. Well, you're right. I would charge you with murder, but you are black. It happens that Aaron is not black. He's white. But he can plead sad. He can plead depression. He can plead drug abuse. And all of these aspects are things that a judge can take into account. This is a natural disaster? I hope this reminds you of the Palisades fire in California that was human set by a guy who was a climate fanatic whose girlfriend broke up with him. And apparently as a, I don't know, trauma response, he said, you know, I'll win her back. I'll burn down houses. Now, those are all factual statements. There's also the factual statements that a few years ago, when there were a lot of these fires, a lot of us were saying, wow, these are awfully suspicious. They seem to be starting along the freeways here, the highways through Northern California and Southern Oregon, and they seem to be starting at a pretty regular clip between them along the lines of a freeway. It's almost like they start every 2.5 to 3 miles right along the freeway, right next to the freeway, like someone was stopping and starting the fires. That's so strange. And then we found out that, yeah, there were some people who did that, just helping climate change along. There's no focus on this. The media has this thing, the Mockingbird media, that if it's a white person, you blame their race. If it's a black person, you blame the gun. You know, their act of white violence using guns. If it's a black person who commits a mass murder, well, there you go. It's the availability of guns again. When it's fires, the Mockingbird media wants it to be the climate. So you're not going to see an expose on this guy who is suspected of starting this fire, just like you didn't see an expose on the guy who started the Palisades fires, just like we never saw a big investigation into the fires that the premier of Nova Scotia said was started by a gang of people hoping to advance the narrative of climate change, because the Mockingbird media would rather have it just be climate change, and that's what they do. They're advocates for points of view. For instance, there's a ton of soft peddling that's gone on in light of a guy who committed arson against the human race, Tony Fauci. Well, it would be more correct to say he committed arson against the healthcare system, against the trust in doctors, against the very phrase public health. He committed arson against medical ethics, professional ethics, government ethics, arson against the truth. And in my judgment, he committed mass murder, or let's say negligent homicide, except he's not negligent. It's not negligent homicide. He wasn't negligent. He knew what he was doing. So there's a lot of soft peddling from the Mockingbird media. George Stephanopoulos on ABC rushed in to sort of kind of soft-handedly defend Anthony Fauci.
And Jay, a sign of the times, that Dr. Fauci hearing yesterday, about as partisan as it gets.
It was. And now, after that hearing, the chair of that committee, Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky, says he wants to move to hold Dr. Fauci in contempt of Congress after Fauci pled the fifth more than 100 times in that fiery hearing yesterday. Fauci said he did so as a way of protecting himself, because he accused Paul of having, in his words, a, quote, unhinged obsession with putting him in prison. Paul has said that because Fauci has this preemptive pardon from President Biden that covers Fauci's time in government, he may not be allowed to exercise his constitutional right to plead the fifth. But Paul acknowledged to me that's an untested legal theory that the courts are going to have to set.
Yeah, except Senator Josh Hawley gave you the Supreme Court case that's been in existence for over 100 years that showed the Supreme Court decided when you have been given immunity from a president, you cannot use the Fifth Amendment because you are not at risk. The Fifth Amendment protects you from criminal prosecution. If you have been pardoned by the president, you are not at risk of criminal prosecution. Therefore, you cannot use the Fifth. And what they're doing there is they're taking the fact that the auto pen, or maybe Biden, I think it was the auto pen, gave these preemptive pardons to Fauci for crimes unknown. That should be taken to the Supreme Court. Can you pardon someone for any crime that they ever might commit ever? I mean, logic would say, I guess you could say, yeah, except what if the emails came out and Fauci said, you know what, we should call the herd of the olds, people who are sick, and kill several million of them with the COVID flu to save money for public health. What if the email surfaced? And that's what he said. The preemptive pardon would go, well, pardoned. CBS News, so-called, kind of soft-handedly defended Fauci's excessive diary entries about himself.
So I want to say I've actually read all of the pages of the diary. Okay. There's two releases, 1,100 and then some almost 500.
Right.
Most of his comments are actually about the pressure it was creating, mm-hmm. and the harassment and death threats and what that led to in terms of security. So that's actually most of his right. comments about the fame. Who here has not taken a selfie with a celebrity who's been here in the studio?
Right.
And I'm going to say it's basically everybody. Right?
Yeah. It's human yes. nature.
It's human
nature.
So
to lean into the line.
Right. It's human nature.
And he had it.
But if you look at the preponderance of his comments, most of them are actually concerns about, this is making me really uncomfortable, I'm uneasy, this is leading to these security issues. It's, you know, the occasional comment about Barbara Streisand is not the headline here.
Well, you don't want it to be. And I don't want it to be. I want the major headline to be that Tony Fauci told himself the truth in his diaries and lied to us. about everything. And incidentally, Fauci was not the least bit uncomfortable with his fame. He brags about his fame. He bragged about the fact that People magazine wanted to name him one of the sexiest people alive. He bragged about that. He kept every single thing ever made in his honor. Donuts. He kept Fauci donuts, bobblehead dolls. So it's sociopathy on top of being defended by sycophants. And why? Because it's instinctual. President Trump's against Fauci, therefore we must support him. Fauci committed arson against the American healthcare system, against the whole idea of public health, and his animus towards us, I think, committed murder. Very similar to a crazy guy starting a fire in Spokane, Washington, but that guy's crazy. Fauci's not. May God have mercy, because I know he'll have judgment. We'll come back on the Disciples' View. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll get to the Tower Babbling and personal notes in the next segment. We are called to be in the world and not of it. And we do that on this program, or try to, when I get out of my way and let God take over the segments. And I remember not to give in to what I want to talk about, but really try to lean in what he wants to talk about. And we're going to get into a debate that happened at Oxford University, and how one of the debaters, a guy named Lawrence Fox, how he panicked the crowd at Oxford during this debate. The debate was about Islam, and he was debating Muslims about Islam and to what degree it is fits in with Western democracies, and to what degree Britain should be even more welcoming of even more Islamists into their society. And we're going to get to that, but this is important to give people a grounding. Our kids are growing up in a world where they're being taught that all religions go to the same place. I just had a discussion last night with a kid in this or a young man on this topic during our youth group. One of my young friends said, "You know, I have a family member who is Buddhist. And he says that Buddha and Jesus are basically the same, and that there's a lot of common ground. And so he doesn't understand why I continue to talk about Jesus." So we just unpacked that a little bit. And I said, here's one way to approach Buddhism. Buddhism believes that one of the core beliefs is that all problems in the world come from desire. So if you do away with desire, you'll have no problems. So I said, so in other words, they desire to do away with desire. Shouldn't they get rid of that desire? It folds up on itself. The Christian faith has some unique advantages. It is historically testable. There's no other religion that does this. You know, we're told to believe that the false prophets, and I think demon Muhammad, learned about Allah in a cave all by his very own self. We know that Muhammad died, did not rise again. We know that he became less and less peaceful and more violent the more control he got. We know that he sponsored and pushed things that stand adverse to Christ Jesus and what Jesus taught, such as the sexual slavery of people that Muhammad said was just fine, as long as it's a conquest. We know that he sponsored forms of violence that stand adverse to the Lord Jesus. And so we have a testable faith that has historically stood up to every challenge against the Christian faith. Was there a guy named Jesus Christ, or called Jesus Christ? Yes. Was he put on a cross? Undoubtedly. Because even people who were enemies of what they called the Christians, which is now a compliment, at the time was not. Even the enemies of the Christian faith, they documented the fact that, yep, he was crucified. Yes, his followers believe he rose again. There's the hundreds of witnesses who saw the Lord Jesus. There's the witnesses who watched the crucifixion and the events afterwards. The sun disappearing, the eclipse at a time there wasn't supposed to be an eclipse. All these things exist. The writings, the witnesses of what Jesus did. But it's also livable. It's livable. One can live out the faith. We can allow the Holy Spirit to change us. We can practice the fruits of the Spirit. So it's these unique advantages. No other faiths have these. And that's just the beginning. There's so much more that we could talk about in regard to these faiths. So kids are being taught that all the religions are equal, but they've never read the New Testament. They've never read the Bible. They don't know what they're accepting when they accept that all faiths are equal, which is why we work with Tim Todd at Truth for Youth. With a simple phone call right now, you can smuggle the Word of God into the government schools in a perfectly legal way. It's a very, very cool bit of kind of gentle sedition against a seditious state. So call 800-733-4737. Right now you can do this. If you're listening live, you can do this. If you're listening on podcast later, that's between 8 a.m. and 4:30 Central. 800-733-4737 or go to tfy.org. That's Truth for Youth, tfy.org. And any kid who promises to give these Bibles to their friends, kids at school, will get them for free. So that then people can read this and kids can understand, oh, here's what the New Testament says. What does Islam say? What do these false faiths say? We have to do this because of the way Islam is given such special treatment in so many countries because people are afraid. This is Lawrence Fox debating Muslims at Oxford Union, arguing the West must resist Islam.
Let's get this out, shall we? 78% of British Muslims believe that no publication should publish pictures of Muhammad. An overwhelming majority. That rises to 87%. That's 9 out of every 10 Muslims that are walking the streets today in a country which absolutely abandoned blasphemy laws. Suspicion is not strong enough a word. The West should resist Islam in the strongest terms on free speech grounds alone. So here we are with this cartoon, right? And it's time to show that I will not submit.
So he is now getting the cartoon ready in Oxford. So Lawrence Fox announced he would be showing an image of Muhammad, and he was then interrupted multiple times.
I will not adhere to the religious laws of far-off places. Now, my wife asked me not to show this for fear of repercussions in my family, but I told her that if I did not, then I had already submitted to Islam. So here we are.
Is it not enough that half the team that invited you to this debate were Muslim women who wanted to hear out your expression and your arguments? Is it not enough that I, as a Muslim president, have invited you to this chamber to give your arguments? Is that not enough justification and evidence for you to believe that we do believe in free speech? I would not become the president of a free speech society if not for it.
Thank you, love. Oh, well, may I, thank you very much. May I finish, excuse me.
Point of order having been raised, I'll hear the ex-librarian.
It's a long time since I've been in this chamber and knew the rules off by heart. But in the House of Commons, and we model ourselves on the House of Commons, props are not allowed. I wonder whether the rule on props is the same in the Oxford Union.
I thank the honourable gentleman for his point of order.
Excuse me, for one second.
Mr. Fox, one moment. The ex-president is also raising a point of order, I think.
Just it's helpful to inform the ex-member and others, at least my thought is wrong with society, that ban was not extended and didn't seem to apply to Israel and Palestine flag.
Thank you. So, right. I just want to wrap this up.
I am going to rule on the point of order. There is no bar in the forms of the House against the use of props.
Do you see what has happened? In a Western democracy, in the UK, where satire, you could make the case, well, it wasn't quite born there, but Shakespeare was an expert at satire. So many of the famous poets and writers from the UK were experts at satire. So he wants to show a cartoon of Muhammad at a university founded upon some of the ideas of free speech, respect for Christian beliefs in Oxford, that no idea is too advanced for us to examine. Speech is sacrosanct. Well, not that. Not that. Is it truly because they're worried that we're not allowed to use props? Or could it be they don't want their heads cut off? That they don't want the Oxford Union bombed? I don't want it bombed. I don't want their heads cut off. But I'm not going to live under that rule. Now, I have no particular desire to show an image of what Muhammad may have looked like. If I wanted to, I would. I shouldn't have a desire to do it. I really don't have a desire to go out and anger Muslims. I know some people like that, and it gets good clicks. I have no desire, for instance, to go out and wrap Qurans in bacon, as people have done. I simply look and say, point me to where Jesus did that. Where did Jesus choose to go mock other faiths? Oh, the Pharisees. Yeah. That was not mocking another faith. That was the Lord's, part of the triune Godhead, going into his house, the temple, his property, and everything is his, and exposing them for what they are. But did you see Jesus when he took the disciples and his apostles, brother, when he took them to a place that was called the Gates of Hades? I mean, that place existed. People believed it was a gateway to hell. Jesus took his followers there. Did you see him to go mock the pagans? No. But if I wanted to mock Muhammad, I wouldn't let the laws of Islam stop me. Would you? I prefer speaking truth and grace. Back to this debate, though, in Oxford. Lawrence Fox then showed an image of Jacob Rees-Mogg.
However, I would encourage Mr. Fox to make the point and move on.
I was, until point of order. So it is in that spirit that I will not submit that I show you this as an Englishman who believes in free speech. I will not submit. I will not bow down. Right.
So I'll tell you in a second.
Which rather proves the point I was trying to make, that in this envelope lived your fear, and your fear of Islam, and what Islam will do to you that when you upset its very oversensitive sky wizard. And what lived in this room is a healthy and brilliant and noble British tradition of suspicion of Islam. I encourage you to pass the motion. Thank you very much.
That was a brilliant, brilliant move. By the way, Sir Jacob William Rees-Mogg, politician, businessman, broadcaster, was a member of parliament, and quite well known in the Oxford Union. That was a brilliant move. Listen to this Islamic man, on the other hand, in our country. Listen to him explain how they plan to take over America.
Next election that comes in, nominate people for the school board of education. Next election that comes here, nominate people for the local township. Begin the demographics change. People converted. There's a big, huge conversion going on in this country. Where are the converts? They just convert and they're gone in the wilderness. The other thing, children. Muslims have the highest population. Average, they did a Pew Foundation did a research study, Pew Foundation, and they said that Muslim household average is 3.4 child per family. The white American has one child per family. We're already beating the march. Because these are voters. These are not just babies being born in hospitals. These are voters. That's the way a politician looks at it. We have to change the framework and start looking at things from a different lens, different angle.
He's saying, not warriors. Someone said, it sounded like he's saying so warriors. He's voters. Smart man. I mean, it's not genius, but it's smart. So what do we see in places like pure red, conservative, red-blooded, Republican, MAGA, Texas? We see this. We listen to this woman explain how Texas is slowly approving a massive Muslim-only community.
Thank you for serving your community. I'm here also today to speak regarding Epic 2 community, now deceptively named The Meadow. As you know, many citizens have been attempting to raise awareness about this development. Residents of Epic cannot simultaneously honor both the Constitution and Sharia law. These systems are incompatible with Islam and Sharia law. There is no difference. They cannot honor the Constitution and support Islam. I realize that the county is responsible for final approvals, but they will be asking this town for the use of infrastructure and especially annexing immediately if approved, and you need to be prepared for that. This development shows concerning patterns like large land acquisitions through shell companies and religious nonprofits, strategic use of municipal MUDs to bypass zoning and public oversight, foreign funding through tax-exempt religious institutions, separate governance structures with their schools and legal systems. TCEQ applications should be secured, and they haven't done this, despite Abbott's directive in April to halt work until permits are secured. And then the educational content that they're teaching that conflicts with American civic values. This isn't standard urban planning. It's establishing parallel communities operating under principles that contradict our Constitution.
It does contradict it because Islam is a political construct with some faith sprinkled into it, a false faith. Our kids are being taught that all religions lead to the same place. It's a lie, and you can help them counter that lie by getting their friends to give them Bibles from Truth for Youth. It's tfy.org. Put the armor of God on the next generation, tfy.org. Thanks for downloading and listening to Disciples View podcast. We have a lot in common. All of us want to retire one day, and the stock market might be near all-time highs, but you know what history shows us? Stock markets don't always see risk coming. So whether it's geopolitical tensions or energy disruptions, inflation or rising government debt, the real threats to our retirement plans often come from the one advisors don't see. So wouldn't it be smart to get a second opinion? You can with Bulwark Capital's free Know Your Risk Portfolio Review. Zach Abraham, the chief investment officer there, is a dear friend of mine. I speak with him regularly. He handles my money, my wife and I's, and he manages based upon risk management. They're always looking for ways to reduce our risk, always looking for ways to increase our upside, and always doing this in a way that, again, all about risk. If you're 5 or 10 or 15 years from retirement, you can't afford a risky portfolio. So sign up for Zach's free, no obligation portfolio review. Just go to knowyourriskpodcast.com. K-N-O-W, knowyourriskpodcast.com, or there's a link here in the show notes, knowyourriskpodcast.com. Investment advisory services out through Trek Financial LLC and SEC Registered Investment Advisor. Investments involve risk and are not guaranteed. Past performance isn't guaranteed future results. Trek 26-112. Welcome back to Disciples View. We'll get to the entire babbling in a personal note here in just a moment. A quick cleanup item. The war on foods continues. Do you remember we talked a few months ago? I brought you some audio from some older interviews I did out of South Dakota. And this was at a time where Kristi Noem was busy selling out the state of South Dakota to investors like Reid Hoffman, who started LinkedIn, and Bono from U2, and investors from South Korea. And what they wanted to do was steal farmland using eminent domain to steal it. They went so far as to send armed agents, company contractors, to people's farms. They had no warrant, no government support. No, they had government support, but no government permission. Eminent domain had not been granted, but they showed up to take measurements on people's land. And South Dakota farmers and ranchers were left on their own to say, nope, you don't get to do this. The scheme was this: to run carbon dioxide pipelines under their farms to store the carbon dioxide underground. And what they were telling us is this is to save the children and the seals from that horrible, terrible, awful stuff we exhale. That's what they were going to sequester. Because that kills all the seals and the children. So the pipelines would run under the ground on a thin little portion of their property, but they wanted to steal all the farmland. You don't get to farm it anymore. And then once they sequestered the carbon dioxide, and part of what we exhale is carbon dioxide, they were going to make products from it, like fake meat, fake butter, and turbo diesel. So they were going to steal farmland, prevent people from growing food, make fake butter from former cattle lands and ranching land, fake protein where we used to have herds of cattle. They were going to do this in buildings where they would grow a bunch of plants by piping, guess what, carbon dioxide into them. Because carbon dioxide is great for plants. Kristi Noem was pretending she was just powerless as the governor. Oh, golly, there's nothing I can do. Oh, sweetness, there's nothing I can do. So a couple of state senators, both women, stepped in and stopped this. For now. That was then. That was the carbon dioxide swindle. This Pennsylvania dairy farmer is named Terry. He explains how a utility company is proposing to run power lines across his farm.
We have learned that PPL would like to run a single source 230 kV line, potentially across our property, to feed a data center that's proposed in Allenwood. To give you an idea, the plot we're standing on is basically the home farm, which originally was a 93-acre farm purchased by my grandfather almost 100 years ago. My sons of the fourth generation here. They're proposing to take 150-foot right-of-way across our fields, perhaps maybe like halfway between here and where our barn is located along Route 44. That means, in addition to them giving them access of 150 feet, which would amount to about 5 acres of our strips across the farm at any time they so desire, it also means we have to swing our spray booms around our towers. We have to swing our 16-foot disc bind around our towers. We have to plant around it. We have to mow around it. We have to give them heed whenever they want, apparently, with a right-of-way. I understand that those transmission lines will prohibit the use of aerial application by drone and helicopter. It's also my understanding that it interferes with GPS reception, which is what we use to properly place our sprayer.
Incidentally, before we get to the tower babbling, just fast forwarding, it's not just his farm that's in danger. They want to cripple other farms.
In addition to whatever they do by soil compaction, whatever they do by disturbing the ground, that's only going to reduce the yield on that 5 acres that they're going to mess up. So I would say the chances of it being a positive impact for us is somewhere between slim and none. The other part of what's going on with this is I know for certain that if we take the two farms just west of the Lycoming Union County line that are preserved, they're going to propose to cross them. So they've got two preserved farms that I know of for certain beyond the Lycoming Union line. Once they cross Lycoming, they cross one, two, three, four, five other preserved farms in Gregg Township, Union County, totaling at least 600 acres. One of the farms that is preserved that we rent will be hit by either one of the two south of 44 route lines that are proposed. So we're not only going to get affected by this by not being able to do what we want to do at home, we'll also be affected on it on a rented property that we have closer to Allenwood. So again, we got to drive around it. We got to deal with the soil compaction, whatever they do to disturb the ground. It prohibits us from further advancing available technology that's available to us by aerial application of certain soil and crop enhancements. So for the sake of advancing technology for an AI center, we get kicked in the butt by not being allowed to enhance technology here at home. So it's a case of, well, they may be our winner, but we're a loser.
So if you're keeping track, here's a few things that are more important than farming and food. Fake food, fake butter, turbo diesel, patented fake food, and data centers. Interesting how that works. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people like the data center pushers on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Who doesn't love a yellow school bus?
Trans women are women, trans men are men, and non-binary people are non-binary.
If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money.
The Tower of Babbling.
Three sound bites in today's Tower Babbling. That's almost always the case. The WNBA's official Twitter-X account posted a video of players Angel Reese and Paige Buchers betting $400 on which women's team would win. The video has been deleted.
At All-Star Weekend, you and Angel made a bet with each other on this game. Is that bet still?
This is how the rich stay rich.
You gotta save this money. I'm gonna see you next week on Wednesday.
Yeah.
At night?
No, at practice.
Oh, at practice?
I mean, I know y'all gonna lose, but if y'all lose,
I get to have that.
If y'all win, you get $400.
Yeah, I get $400.
And if we lose, then you get.
No, you owe me $400.
Does anyone remember this cat named Pete Rose? Remember Pete Rose? Still, to my knowledge, owns the record in Major League Baseball for the record number of hits. He was banned from the game. He's banned from the Hall of Fame for betting on games. The WNBA was a grievance league from the beginning, founded upon grievance, founded upon promoting abortion and same-sex activity. So it makes sense that they wouldn't care about posting a video where two professional athletes are betting on a game. Don't wait for anything to happen, though. It is, after all, the WNBA, and it must be protected. Second soundbite in today's Tower Babbling, back to the WNBA. Indiana Fever coach Stephanie White was asked her stance on men playing in women's sports.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that I would say that I'm educated enough from a scientific standpoint. I don't ever believe that exclusion is an answer. I just don't. I do think, you know, when we think about various levels of sport, various governing bodies of sport and things that go into that, like I said, I'm not educated enough at the different levels. I know growing up, I played with the boys all the time. So there weren't girl sports.
Funny. She also complained recently about there being too many male basketball coaches. So they should be excluded. She's also not smart enough to know men versus women, but she knows she's a woman, and when she was a little girl, played against boys. It's weird how that goes back and forth. I don't know what a woman is, but sometimes I do. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. Shortly after that, the Fever's post-game press conference was shut down.
I think there's always going to be outside noise, but I think we've been professionals long enough to know that if you let that affect you, then you're not really here for the right things. And so for us, we just keep the main thing, and that's hoops.
Hey, speaking of that outside noise, Sophie, your teammate, Sophie came out with a...
Oh, thank you. Have a good day.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Hey, you know what? Actually, in the women's defense, they said it was outside noise, which means, of course, they'll stop mocking Sophie Cunningham and Caitlin Clark on their social media, right? And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
They're arresting people simply for the offense of being in the country illegally. It's not right, but it's not necessarily something that should cause deportation.
That was the Tower of Babbling on A Disciple's View.
On a personal note today, there is a picture that is getting a lot of views in our area where these fires have raged. And now apparently the police are saying all of them have been human caused. One of them, apparently, the police believe on purpose, that a convicted felon who was in prison for all of 10 years for killing his dad rather than do the dishes, 37 years old. So he killed his dad when he was 27 or so, 25 or so. That was human caused. There's a picture that's getting a lot of likes. I'm looking at it right now. 12,000 likes. These pictures often come out of fires. I remember 9/11. Remember the pieces of metal that would not fall? Remember that? That was later put into Washington, D.C., the Smithsonian. Do you remember a portion of the wall that would not fall? Some people found fully intact Bibles that were not destroyed. And so there's this picture that's making the rounds. And I know that there's people who've gone now to where their homes used to be. And I was thinking of the kids pulling up just completely disoriented, little kids. Are you sure this is where we lived? There's a video of a family doing this. And one of the kids said, no, this isn't where we lived. I can see the river. We couldn't see the river. Yeah, but the trees are gone, honey. So now we can see the river. And I just wonder about the disorientating feeling. And then the kids, will we ever be safe again? Because, God willing, these families will get homes again. The insurance companies are going to do everything they can to not pay off. And when they do pay off, it's going to be based upon, well, you bought the house for $1.8 million, so we'll give you $1.8 million. But wait, we bought it 15 years ago. Yeah. We can't even rebuild it for less than three. Yeah. Yep, that's sad. Now, I guess it's the job of insurance companies to make money, but they should be more clear in their policies. Right up front, this is not replacement value. If you want replacement value, you need to pay more money. That should be right on the front of these sheets, but they're not. But there's this picture. I heard in a video that a family had posted as they were driving around where they used to live, I heard cats meowing in the car. The other day I came home, in fact, last night, we have cat carrying cases because we do have cats. And the cat carrying case was right on the steps, the garage steps. So I came in and asked my wife, hey, did you get the cat carrying case out thinking we might have to evacuate? She goes, no, that's been there for forever. We'll always keep it by the door. Yeah, but it was right in front of the steps. I wondered if that was God telling us, get ready. The picture? It's of the Virgin Mary. Unscorched. Standing alone. A friend of mine who's Catholic posted this. There's always these pictures. And people will say, God didn't let this burn. True. God did not let the Holy Spirit be quenched. God didn't go anywhere. God was there watching this all, no doubt protecting, no doubt saying, walk this way, come this way, and would no doubt tell us it wasn't ever supposed to be this way. I never wanted you to have to live like this. We have a second chance. Eternity with the Lord Jesus, where there's never anything like this, to live as we were designed. All it takes is accepting Him as Lord and Savior and then acting that way. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because He first loved us, we speak His Word. Walk in the path of Jesus Christ to make disciples of all nations until God grants us permission to speak again to them. May His peace wash over you. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman, and this has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.